Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Stovekraft Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi, Managing Director of Stovekraft Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Stovekraft Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all participants to the Q4 FY24 financial results earnings call. We also have Orient Capital with us on the call, who are our advisors on investor relations. Along with me are Mr. Ramakrishna Pendharia, our CFO, and Mr. Hemant Kothari, our Chief Business Analyst. We have uploaded our investors' deck and earnings press release on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through them. In the face of challenging market dynamics, our steadfast commitment to excellence has not only sustained us but propelled us forward, showcasing robust growth and resilience. In the fourth quarter of FY24, which is generally a soft quarter for the industry, our revenues stood at INR 325 crores, registering a significant growth of 17% in revenue on a YOY basis, with improved gross margins of 37.1%. Furthermore, the recent quarter witnessed a paradigm shift in our growth trajectory, marked by significant emphasis on volume-driven expansion across various product categories. The fiscal year 2024 is a testament to our unwavering dedication in pursuit of leadership as we navigated through a landscape of fluctuating demands, emerging with a notable 6.3% increase in revenue, a vigorous growth of 21.4% in volume, and a commendable 20% growth in EBITDA. Moreover, our foray into direct retail through company-owned stores has yielded promising results, exemplifying a superior brand experience for our consumers. It gives me immense satisfaction to share that the company has added 117 stores in FY24, far exceeding our initial target of adding 78 stores per month. We concluded the year with a strong network of 171 stores in 50 cities across eight states. These stores will not only enhance our brand salience but also contribute to the lucrative margins for the company. We will continue to expand our retail presence across multiple strategic and diversified locations across the country. It is our constant endeavor to unveil a range of groundbreaking products that redefine the art and convenience of cooking and elevate culinary experiences for our consumers. Introducing the Pigeon Healthy Air Fryer, an appliance that combines cutting-edge technology and unmatched aesthetics for health-conscious consumers of our country. We also launched a range of Pigeon Cast Iron Cookware in the current quarter for our customers to experience superior heat retention, unmatched versatility, unparalleled durability, and the health benefits of iron enrichment. This range combines global cookware design standards and local craftsmanship, ensuring an exceptional cooking experience with every use. Our other product launches include multipurpose kettles, dough makers, copper-coated double-walled stainless steel water bottles, and hobs. Our unwavering focus on in-house manufacturing and enhanced backward integration ensures superior quality, agility, and cost efficiency, reinforcing our position as pioneers in the industry. As we progress through 2024, we remain committed to continue our growth trajectory while taking cognizance of the volatility and challenges of the market environment. We are steadfast in our focus on broadening our product portfolio, bolstering current distribution channels, and intensifying accessibility for our consumers. These efforts are geared towards propelling Stovekraft towards sustained growth fostering long-term value for all stakeholders involved. On to our Q5 FY24 financial performance. The consolidated revenues stood at 325 crore for Q4 FY24 against INR 278 crores in the Q4 of FY23, registering a growth of 17% on YOY basis. Gross profit for the quarter stood at 121 crores against INR 89 crores in Q4 of FY23, registering a growth of 35% year-on-year basis, while gross profit margin for the current year stood at 37.1%, reflecting an increase of 490 basis points year-on-year basis. EBITDA for Q4 FY24 stood at 25 crores versus 6 crores in Q4 FY23, recording a sharp growth of compared to same quarter in the previous year. The EBITDA margin for the current quarter stood at 7.6% versus 2.1% in Q5 FY23, improving by 550 basis points year-on-year. Profit after tax for Q4 FY24 stood at INR 3 crores versus a negative of 6 crores in Q4 FY23. Now coming to the full year FY24 financial performance. The consolidated revenue stood at INR 1,364 crores for FY24 versus 1,284 crores for FY23, hence registering a growth of 6.3% on year-on-year basis. Gross profit for FY24 stood at INR 504 crores versus 420 crores in FY23, registering a growth of 19.9% year-on-year basis. Gross profit margin stood at 36.9%, that is an increase of 420 basis points year-on-year basis. EBITDA for FY24 stood at 119 crores versus 99 crores in FY23, recording a growth of 20% YOY basis. The EBITDA margin for FY24 stood at 8.7% versus 7.7% in FY23. Profit after tax for FY24 was at 34.1 crores versus 35.8 crores for FY23. I am also pleased to share that our board has recommended our first maiden dividend of rupees 2.5 per share. I now request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Akush Kosarani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what was the volume growth for the full year?
Akush, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is coming a little muffled.
Is this better now?
Slightly better.
Sir, what is the volume growth?
Yeah, for the quarter, comparative quarter of the last year, we were at 28.6% volume growth for our core categories of cookware and appliances. And for the year, we were at 21.4% growth on volume for the whole year versus the last year. And this is a consolidated category for cookware and appliances.
Kush, can you hear us? Kush, may I request to unmute your line and go ahead with your follow-up, please. Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Resham Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on, you know, the Q4 growth. So we have registered a very good growth in Q4. So can you just talk about where this growth is coming from in terms of which regions, which channels?
Channel-wise also I can give you. For the quarter, our general trade has been flattish, but e-com is the bigger growth have come in our corporate sales and our own retail. These two channels have given higher growth, both our corporate sales and our retail.
And any specific regions where
we have grown about 25% of our modern trade, we have grown our exports, our brand exports have grown substantially.
Right. No, the reason why I'm asking this question is because markets, I mean, you know, the market, the demand, overall demand is generally subdued while, you know, we have grown at a pretty healthy rate. So I was just trying to understand, you know, the color of this growth.
Fundamentally, of course, while our existing categories, we have performed, there are several categories that we are getting to leadership. We are expanding our product portfolio, more particularly for with products that we are manufacturing within our facilities. And those products that we are able to get to manufacturing within our facilities, we are seeing very high market share growth. We are getting a lot of acquiring a lot of market share from these products, and that is where I think that's the differentiator.
And also, if we see, you know, cookers and non-stick cookware for Q4, which is almost 45% of our revenues in terms of value. Right, so there, you know, the volume growth is way ahead of the value growth. So is it that the growth in this category, these two categories, cooker and non-stick cookware, has specifically come from a lot of heavy discounting?
So I will give you a little more insight that will it will better understand the growth in volume versus value. Particularly these two items, aluminium is a major contributor in the manufacture of these products. There has been a huge, I can say, input cost degrowth, which as a policy of the company, we pass on the benefits to the consumer. So by in value terms, we are not seeing growth, but volume, of course, we are growing.
And going ahead in FY25, what is the kind of guidance that you want to give in terms of top-line growth as well as margins? And top-line growth, if you can split between what would be the volume growth and, you know, the overall value growth.
So we believe we'll continue to grow at the current levels, particularly on the volume growth, because value, sometimes, see, if you will see a CAGR of the last 5 years, we have been growing at 19%. But this year, it was a different year for us, particularly on the value, because we have seen a correction in most of the input costs during the year. And so the on value growth, we have seen not in line with what we used to be. On the gross margins, we have been particularly working on this, and we could also register a good growth on our gross margins. We are very close to where we want to be now, and I think we will further improve on our gross margins this year.
So just to clarify here, the revenue growth that you're talking for FY25, if you were to quantify the value growth, that would be, you're saying the past CAGR has been 19%. So we look at a 19% kind of growth, top line growth.
Yes.
And the volume growth would be at the run rate of the Q4 volume growth level?
If not the Q4, at the run rate of the last year.
Which is 9%?
Now the volume growth, we have been able to grow at 19%, 21.4% for the year.
Okay, and value growth you are saying would be as per
depends,
the past year?
It depends if there is a inflationary growth. Of course, we believe, okay, maybe it is not exactly that the volume growth will be in the same. But overall, we see to grow at the same rate that we've been growing the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay, so
thank
that's
you,
Risham,
sorry
volume
to
growth.
You. May I request you to come back for a follow-up question, please?
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Khush Ghosrani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, sir, I got dropped out. Is my voice better now?
Yeah, I'm able to hear. I hope it is audible to you.
Yes. Sir, this quarter we have seen increase in our allowance for ECL to 4.7 crores, which used to be around 1.5, 1.6 crores. So could you please help us what has happened over here?
So there were some reconciliation items that were pending from the previous year for which we have provided in our ECL.
Sure.
They were continuing for a long time and in the process of cleaning up our receivables, we have provided in the ECL.
And so for FY25, this will continue as well at around 9.5?
No, I think is an extraordinary provision that we have made. And in fact, that has given us more confidence, I mean, more comfort on our receivables. Wherever we have exceeded the number of days as per our provision policy, we have provided in our ECL.
Sure. So, and sir, our depreciation has also increased to 14.6 and interest costs as well. So, is this because of the Ind AS impact of 116 accounting?
Yes.
Talking about
leases. So, do you have the breakup right now between what would be the actual and what would be the due to for Ind AS? So
talking about depreciation or
both depreciation and finance cost, both sir.
Yeah,
it's okay if you could give me for the full year. That's also fine.
Yeah, in the interest, I think about 6 to 7 crores was there in, related to leases. I think in the depreciation also would be more or less the same amount, about 9 to 10 crores.
Yeah, got it, sir. Got it. And, sir, if you could highlight, you know, for FY25, I missed your guidance number, but kind of growth are you targeting? So, this year we have been single digit due to, I think, so very high pricing pressure that we have seen. But, full year, how are you seeing FY25 panning out?
We believe that we will continue to grow at the pace that we've been growing the last 5 years.
And, you know, margins have improved to 8.7 from 7.7 for the full year. So, you know, we have earlier guided for a 10 to 11% number. So, is that achievable in FY25? And how it
that
will
be? Our endeavor for this year, we believe that everything is in place. So, our endeavor is that we should get to our aspired EBITDA number.
Got it, sir. Got it. So I'll get back on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pritesh Shira from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Last 2 years, I'm seeing that you're utilizing your cash flow for assets. In the last 2 years of 200 crore investment that you have made, if you'd highlight where it is made and incrementally will the asset intensity or the pace at which you're expending come down, go up, if you could have some comments there.
So this is not from last year. We started this CapEx cycle middle of the COVID times, this is FY21. And we are at the fag end of our CapEx cycle. We are this year, FY25, you will see a lot of concluding CapEx. There is no new CapEx plan. So there will be a decline in the overall CapEx, but this is only the concluding CapEx that we are doing. And this will put the company in a very, in terms of manufacturing, in a very strong position in all the categories that we are currently operating. To give you, to answer to your question, yeah, the CapEx cycle is coming to an end. So you will see this overall cash flow to CapEx declining, both for this year and the years following.
So then incrementally, will your CapEx be equal to depreciation, more than depreciation, less than depreciation?
This year itself will be well within the depreciation. Our depreciation number would have definitely gone up, is also going up. And the CapEx for the current year, the plan is, with the plan that we have, it will be much below the depreciation number.
Okay. So, basically, will the surplus cash flows then bring us a financial leverage because you can have the ability to repay your debt, bring down your interest costs? We will see that journey starting?
This year, hopefully, before the end of the year, we should be very close or aspirationally, we should be debt-free.
Okay. And on the lease liability creation and also the capex which you have spent of about 200 crores in the last 2 years, more than 200 crores. How much of it has gone in retail, that the store creation, and is this lease liability because of the store creations?
So on an average, about 18 lakhs is what we spend on the retail. Overall is not for the year. For the year, it is 117 stores, which will be about 15-16 crores. But overall, capex in the retail is about 31 crores.
30 crores, yeah. So then why is the lease liability such a big number, 100 crores?
Lease liability is not 100 crores.
It is not only the retail stores. We also have our foundry, which was...
So some of our capex has been funded through lease and buyback model. So we have some lease liability even in our investment on the manufacturing facilities.
Okay. And are you through your store creation, or are you going to add more stores?
We will be adding more stores, but the overall format of this is changing. We have, at the end of last year, 171 stores at the end of FY24. And these will continue to be overall in the scheme of our future retail. 171 stores will be company-owned, company-operated. All the future stores, that including the existing stores, will be actually company-owned and franchisee-operated. In a way, it facilitates that there is no cash outflow into the investment in these stores.
Current stores were company-owned, company-operated, 150.
171.
Future stores will be?
Will be company-owned and franchisee-operated.
So there will be capex, right?
There will be capex, will be funded by the deposits that the franchisee will give us. There will be no cash outflow from the company.
Okay. And my last question is, in the year of FY24, what was your A&P spend?
What is the AMP spend? It's 45 crores. AMP spend.
This includes both ATL.
So for us, when you say AMP, is all advertising spend, and this is 45 crores.
Versus last year, though?
We were in the similar range.
Okay, 45 crores. Okay. Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from Lan of Parneet from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious about the product development cycle. We have been developing a lot of new products last year and year before that. I'm curious if there's a specific development cycle and can we expect a product every month or every week, or what is it? How can we expect the product launches to be?
First of all, we are in the various categories, and these are all led by individuals as product heads, and each one of them are focused on bringing more convenience to our consumers and better products, and also to get into the cycle of indigenizing these products. So different, we are in the cookware, we are in the cooktop, and also in the various appliances that we want to offer to our consumers. There is not exactly a number that it comes every week or every month, but overall we keep, that is the business that we operate. It is a business of products and channels. Whenever we introduce these products, this goes into each of these channels, and whenever we add a new channel, all these products also go into the channel. And innovation is the key, both innovation and indigenization is what is helping us.
Understood. As you mentioned about channels, another player in this industry also mentioned about channel harmony, that they want to limit the specific channels because they do not want to create any distance between channels. So as we're expanding our company-owned, company-operated stores and franchisee stores, do we see any disharmony between the channels such as general trade, modern trade, because of the varying amount of discounting or promotions?
We would want to be available to our consumer wherever they would want to by our products, and we will explore all possibilities on expanding our channels, particularly domestically and then, of course, internationally. And we, for our product managers, this is a constant endeavor to manage the channel conflict. We would try and ensure that this is minimized, but that is the nature of the business, and different channels operate differently. There could be sometimes disruption, but we would try our best to maintain harmony between the channels.
I'm more curious because between general trade and company-owned and company-operated stores, they're usually in the same vicinity of the source. Are the general trade facing any cannibalization of sales because of company-owned stores or franchise stores that have been operating?
To give you an insight, wherever we have opened our stores, whichever city, our general sales contribution has gone up. It's because the consumer is able to now touch feel a wider range of products, either two which were not necessarily available with all these stores, multi-brand stores. Our consumer is now exposed to the whole range of our products, and we have no such, it's not a very big challenge. Maybe sometimes whenever the dealers have found that they've been it's not related to discount, but overall the feeling was that there is another seller in the vicinity of the store. But ultimately what is our experience is whichever cities we have these retail stores, we have seen growth in our general trade.
Understood. One more thing about franchises, it is our expectation that we maintain the company-owned and operated stores at 170 to 180, and we'll onboard franchises to continue future expansion. I'm curious, are franchises willing to adapt or take up this new franchisee model to onboard new franchisees, and how is the adoption of these franchisees and conversion of company-owned stores to franchisee stores?
So it is not limited to only the new stores. The existing stores will also move to the franchisee model. Wherever we see the stores are performing well, we offer this to our franchisees. On the demand side or the interest from franchisees, we have already a pipeline. With the plan that we have for this current quarter, every quarter we would ideally want to open between 25 to 30 stores. If you want to know, for us, for this quarter, the pipeline is full. And we believe that with the kind of interest that we are seeing from franchisees, that should not be a challenge.
So what is the breakup of the franchise stores and company-owned stores out of the 171?
All the 171 stores as of end of last year were company-owned, company-operated. We started this journey of franchise stores beginning of this year. Yeah, I think we have signed up about 30-35 franchises, and of which 15 to 18 stores have been handed over to them. This also includes the existing COCO stores. The whole guideline to our retail team is we will retain 100 at any point of time. The number of company-owned, company-operated stores will not exceed 171. The newer and increasing number of these stores will be through the franchise route.
Understood. One more curious thing about the geographical expansion. We are mostly present in South, like most of the players. So we are guided to the expansion to North regions. How is the expansion going? How is the revenue contribution going from the Northern and Eastern and Western states of India?
So we operate through various channels. If at all, if you heard us on the expansion on the retail, yes, we are now there across, we are opening more and more stores in the Delhi region. Going forward, you'll see more expansion coming up in the West, particularly in the Gujarat state. And overall, in the general trade, we are there across the country, and our opportunity for growth in North and the East is much larger than the South and the West. In the modern trade, wherever the established modern retailers are there, we are available. E-commerce has given us an opportunity to reach the consumer in every pin code of the country.
Understood. One last question from me. One of the previous highest revenue contributors were oil marketing companies for us. So what is the revenue contribution from that segment of our business, and what the capacity in Himachal Pradesh was especially meant for oil marketing companies? How is the capacity utilization for that plant like at the moment?
We have moved away from the co-branded sales with the oil companies a few years back. Maybe you're not tracking us. We don't do any co-branded business. And our Himachal facility, which was established to manufacture gas stoves and which was catering to the requirement of the co-branded stoves when we were operating this, is now a complete facility to manufacture pressure cookers. The variety of pressure cookers that we manufacture, there is the inner lid pressure cookers, which have a larger market, mostly in the north and the east. Of course, we sell them across the country, but majority of these sales are in the north and the east. And 100% of our inner lid pressure cookers are manufactured at the Himachal facility. And it is one pressure cooker where we are acquiring the highest market share. We are growing the fastest in the inner lid pressure cooker category when you compare with any other brand in the country.
Understood. Sorry, one last question about... You mentioned that CapEx cycle has come to an end and we will not have much CapEx going forward. What can be the annual CapEx, maintenance CapEx we can expect?
For this year, we have a budget of 50 crores that includes the concluding CapEx. And a normal ongoing CapEx will be about 25 crores.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Achal Lohare from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations for the great numbers. What I wanted to check was, you know, with respect to the e-com channel growth. Sorry, I missed the beginning part of the call. If you have already mentioned, what is the growth in the e-com channel and the export channel for FY24?
Last year, e-com we grew, first of all, good evening, Achal. Last year, e-com we grew by 9% and our exports we grew by 26%.
Understood. And is it possible to get a revenue mix in terms of general trade, e-com, modern trade, exports?
Yeah.
For FY24?
Yes. 540 crores for general trade, e-com was 440, modern trade was 165. Export was 160 crores. We have our corporate sales, which is at 77 crores, and our retail contributed to 42 crores.
Understood. So, you know, is it possible to get some sense what is the growth in each of these for FY24, or if you could give me the absolute number for FY23 also, that would be helpful.
I think it's there on our investor presentation.
Is there? Okay, I'll take a look. It's come at a very short notice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second question I had, can you update us on the other initiatives with respect to, you know, your modular kitchen, Black & Decker, Kawa? Any update on that, how they have done in FY24 and what is the outlook there? And what is the strategy
our focus
there?
Our bigger focus has been on our Pigeon brand and the various channels that we operate in the country. And the second, I can say the channel that we have been focusing on is on our export. So these are the two primary contributors to our business. Of course, we have the kitchen business. We have made a little changes in the way we do the kitchen business. We have let go on our manufacturing facility. We have sold it to a vendor who takes care of the manufacturing part. The need base, we buy and then we sell it to only through our retail outlets. The Stava business has got merged with the LED business, and LED business stays where it is, and it has got deep focused in the overall scheme of our growth plans.
Understood. Sorry, I missed the part. FY25, you said... what is the volume growth and what is the revenue growth?
So, we believe that we've been growing at the same steady state at what we've been doing last 5 years. If you see the CAGR for the last 5 years, we have been at about 19%. This year has been an exceptional different year. We have had good volume growth, but the value growth has actually come down. So, if in a normal circumstance, we'll continue to grow at the same pace that we've been doing last 5 years.
And the margins, you said we aspire to reach to our previous guidance, but can you help with the absolute margin? Is it 11 to 13, 12 to 14, 10, 11%? What is the
We have been successful in increasing our gross margins, and the rest will automatically follow, we believe. And with the growth that we aspire, I think the first target is to first get to that between 10 to 11%, and we believe this is the year to perform.
Understood. 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 And just one more question. You know, historically we've seen that we've been investing heavily and that kind of impacted the margin in terms of EBITDA margin. Now, incrementally, where the investments will go, you know, are you looking at substantial increase in the manufacturing? But you said CAPEX is going to be limited. We are already almost done with. So what kind of cost increase can we look at the employee cost and the other expense? You know, assuming your revenue growth.
We had a substantial increase on an employee cost. Is also in account of various new facilities that we are putting up, we have been putting up for our manufacturing. All these investments, both in people and the manufacturing facility, will start contributing to our revenue and EBITDA now. Okay. I don't think there is a substantial increase in our people cost compared to the FY24. I mean, in this current year, there is not going to be a substantial increase. On investment that we have made on CapEx is all that will start delivering. Some of it, particularly the cast iron, is just about to begin. Whereas we are already started incurring both people and cost through lease finance and depreciation. Not the depreciation, through the lease finance. So there is a cost that is already in our P&L. And the moment they start contributing, it will also get to improving our EBITDA.
Understood. Any percentage you want to give for manufacturing percentage? How much was that for FY24, 23 and going forward?
Not an exact number.
92.
We are currently between 91% and 92% of the total contribution from our revenue is coming from the manufactured products within the factories of Stovecraft.
Got it. Understood. So thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Kush Gosrani from InQuad Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Could you help us to understand how is the market demand as of now and how has been the pricing situation going on in this summer season as of now? And what is the outlook for the full year in terms of pricing? Because last 2 years, as you highlighted right now, pricing has been a challenge for us. So if you could help us with understanding of your outlook over there, that would be helpful.
We did not have a challenge this year. Last year, there was unprecedented disruption in the input costs. And while we were able to pass on the difference in our cost, but while we were implementing the cost increase itself, again, before even the quarter ended, we were experiencing that there was again a disruption and increase in the input costs, which was leading to erosion of our margins. This year, we have not experienced that. And we believe that there is a lot of learning that has happened, and we will be cautious enough to protect our margins at the gross margin level. On the current times, I can tell you that on the demand, particularly we are not in the summer products like fans or coolers, but overall the business is going through not great demand times. So we believe that if we could perform, I mean, with the addition of these new channels and bringing new products to our consumers, we are able to grow at the current rate. If the times are very, if the demand scenario improves from here, it can be a positive to our revenue.
First question, are you seeing increased competition from the peers as well, such as TPK, Judge Brand or Hawkins, etc., especially in the pressure cooker side?
So we are operating in a different segment. We are addressing the largest consumer base in this country, the value consumer. And in the category that we operate, we are leaders. And we are continuing to grow in all these categories. We have not seen a single year So in this current year, we have degrown in pressure cooker by value terms by 2%, but our volume growth is 18%. We continue to grow in the pressure cooker category also. But this is not the only category that we operate. There are several categories, and we are seeing growth in each of these categories.
Okay, sure, sir. I'll get back in. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Sahil Vora from MNS Associates. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Can you provide more insights into the factors that drove the 17% revenue growth in this quarter? I wanted to understand that if there are any specific product lines or markets that contributed significantly.
Yeah, you wanted revenue growth from categories or from channels?
From category.
Categories. Very good. Quarter.
Volume.
No, value.
Okay.
The biggest growth for us has come in from appliances, which is 33%. On the non-stick cookware, which the growth has been 33% again. Or the cookware category, it's not exactly non-stick. Overall, the cookware category has grown by 33% for us. And for in the quarter, our industrial cooktop, we have grown by 63%.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. My next question was about the geographical region. So we have more than 100 company-owned retail stores in FY24, like addition-wise. So how do we plan to leverage this increased presence to enhance customer engagement and brand visibility? Specifically, are there any regions or demographics that you are targeting?
We have been very successful in opening the stores in the south, and we have now moved to Delhi region. Currently in Delhi region, we have already 11 stores. We plan to expand this region of NCR Delhi. And we are getting, we have started signing stores in the west, that is in Gujarat. They are also opening stores in UP now.
Okay, that helps. I'll get back to you in some time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So two questions.
Natasha, if you can speak a little louder, please.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, yes, Natasha.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is it possible if you can give me the breakdown of the volume numbers across category for FY24? Absolute volume numbers.
That will be very difficult to give you a number on, but I can tell you in terms of percentage.
Sure.
So you want the growth on the category volume for the year?
So no, volume growth I had, I mean, it's there in your PPT. So never mind, I was
and
actually...
Even in our PPT, we have given you revenue contribution from each category.
Okay, so then the chart which says growth volume year on year, would that not be a volume growth number?
Yeah, you have both the volume growth and the value, value growth for the quarter.
No problem. Understood that, sir. So basically, absolute number is not possible, right?
I don't think we'll share this number.
Okay. Sir, second question is, sir, in terms of the 171 stores that you said, those are company-owned and operated. Sir, can you help us first in terms of the additional run rate in terms of increasing this store? And then you said 50 to 55 per month is our conversion to a franchisee model. So would that mean, sir, first if you could help with the run rate, then probably I'll ask you the follow-up.
No, I think you. I'll run this whole strategy. We have 171 stores at the end of March FY24. We would retain this 171 stores as a number to be company-owned and company-operated. Any additional stores, overall, the new stores or from the existing stores will move to a COFO model, company-owned franchisee-operated model. And the run rate we have been able to do is about 25 to 30 stores a quarter. And we believe we'll continue at the same rate.
So 25 to 30, you meant probably conversion of your existing model to your COFO model, right?
Yeah. So we believe that we'll be able to expand our number of stores by 25 to 30 every quarter. Since we have capped the number of company-owned, company-operated stores at 171, all the incremental number will also have to be the company-owned, franchisee-operated. So the number of new stores and the company and the number of company-owned, franchisee-operated model will remain the same.
Understood. All right. Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from Sore Wealth Managers. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you. We are not. Hello, Anand. Can you hear us? So the line for the participant dropped. We'll move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Praneet from Samatha Investments. Please go ahead.
I have one last question about the resignation of the CTO and human resource officer. There were fairly recent onboarding people. So I'm curious on why did they resign or like what is the change and idea of the CXO suite you are planning to do?
We have a dynamic situation. We are embarking on several initiatives. Some of the initiatives, of course, we are broad-basing our management team and some things fructify based on our clients and some not necessarily. And the individuals will have their own personal professional aspirations. Sometimes they do not match, and it should be a win-win for the professional and the company when somebody wants to contribute to the company. And in this process, we may have people sometimes who may not will have to let go, or people will want to pursue their other professional goals. So I think it falls in one of them.
Okay, thank you for your answer.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that will be our last question. I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi for closing comments.
Thank you all. It was wonderful answering all queries and questions that you had. But if any of your queries or you have any more questions, you can always reach us out. You can also reach us through our investor relations team at Orient Capital. Thank you again. Good evening. And we did also share with you that this we are extremely excited to share that this is our first maiden dividend payout, and I hope this gives you a little more joy to all our investors. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Storecraft Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.